You're listening to audio from Central Church in Bryan, College Station. To learn more about us, please visit centralbcs.org or join us on a Sunday morning.
Let me invite you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to spend our time in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And this morning, we are continuing in our series called The Central Wheel. And if you're a guest with us for the very first time, welcome home. You've picked a great Sunday to be here because in just 3 weeks from now, we've got a huge milestone to celebrate in the life of our church as we mark our 100th anniversary as a congregation. It's going to be a big moment for us. That particular Sunday, we'll have our worship gathering at 10:30 as normal, but we won't have any life groups in the morning. This is September 7th. And then in the evening, we'll have a celebration festival followed by a concert led by Shane and Shane. We're super excited about that. In fact, Shane and Shane will be here with us during the worship time on that 100th anniversary morning as well. And I need your help in one thing as we're getting ready to go to God's Word. If you've got one of these blue cards in the seat back in front of you, I need you to scan the QR code, and in there is a chance for you to RSVP for your family to let us know that you're coming to the 100th anniversary. We don't want to run out of food on that big day. And so we need to know. We've already had over 400 of y'all sign up that you're planning to be there at the festival, and we just need to have that sense. That'll be a big blessing to our team as we're making plans for that big milestone in the life of our church. The central wheel. That is what our focus is this morning. Last week, we kicked it off by talking about what it looks like to gather around the gospel as committed worshipers in corporate worship, as eager apprentices in our personal devotion. And this morning, we're going to turn our attention to this upper right quadrant, what it looks like to grow. Living things grow. And God tells us that His Word is living and active at work in us. And what we're going to find this morning is that the Bible is calling us to grow in the gospel in two key ways: as deep disciples through intentional learning, and as an authentic family in intentional community. And if you weren't here with us last week when we kicked this off, you'll notice in this central wheel, right at the heart of it is our church's logo to represent the gospel. This explains why we exist, that we're a church that everything is centered on what Jesus has done for us. And then around that, this next circle are our four commitments that we think embody what it looks like to live out the Christian faith, to gather, grow, give, and go. And as we do that, this outer circle helps us to understand who it is that we're becoming. How are these things shaping us? And this is something we're not just doing in here on Sunday mornings. I've been so encouraged to see the way our preschool and even our kids' ministry have helped their kids to understand it. They're building their own central wheels in there, doing this artwork week in and week out. I even heard the story of a mom in our church who was trying to remember what the four G's were, and her son, who's in our kids' ministry learning this last week, got to step in and correct her. No, it's grow and go, Mom. Get it right. Like that kind of thing. It's taking root in the life of our church. And what we're finding here this morning is that what we're calling ourselves to in this new expression of our discipleship pathway, of what it looks like for our spiritual growth, what we're doing is tapping back into an ancient reality. A reality that we've seen all across the book of Acts. And what we're going to find this morning in Acts chapter 2 is they give us this incredible picture of what it looks like to grow in the gospel. And I want you to notice the way that Luke talks about it beginning in Acts 2 and verse 42. Here's what he says. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Right here in Acts chapter 2, we see the birth of the early church. You remember last week we saw Jesus' ascension as he goes to heaven. Now in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, the Spirit comes down. It falls at Pentecost, and 3,000 overnight come to faith. There's just over 3,000 seats here in this worship center. Imagine every one of them filled with people who are newly converted to faith in Jesus Christ. And the church grows in this pivotal moment. And you can imagine those early church leaders wrestling through what it looks like to help them grow in their faith. How do we foster community? How do we help them to learn what it looks like to follow Jesus. And if we can see the way that they shepherded their people then, it can give us a window into the way that God is calling us to grow now. And here's what we're going to find together this morning, that Acts chapter 2 is calling us to grow in the gospel as deep disciples learning the way of Jesus and as authentic family living the way of Jesus. So let's spend some time at the start looking back at verses 42 and 43, this idea of being deep disciples, of learning the way of Jesus. And this is something that we should uniquely understand right here in Bryan College Station, especially at back to school time. Has anybody else noticed that traffic is getting a little thicker? The restaurant lines are getting a little bit longer. We're a church that's wired around learning, and we love our next generation, except for everything they do, except for when they're running red lights all around town, let's be honest. But we love investing in them, and when they're in the classroom, they're learning chemistry, they're learning calculus, they're learning how to do the Aggie War Hymn, they're learning all of these things. We're a community that's wired to learn, and that's why this concept of growing as deep disciples should come naturally to us. Because the picture that we find here in the early church is that followers of Jesus commit to learning the way of Jesus, to understanding how God has designed the world, who God is, and how it is that we relate to it. And the reason that's so important is because we learn the way of Jesus in order to live the way of Jesus. And that's precisely what we find here in the early church in Acts chapter 2. What we find is that they are learning the way of Jesus, and it has several key characteristics I don't want you to miss. Notice back in verse 42, for example, deep disciples learn the way of Jesus by devoting themselves to God's word. Notice what it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. If you like marking up your Bible, just circle that word devoted. There's a sense of relentless commitment that's there. Unwavering engagement. Like nothing's going to hold them back. They're going to keep pressing on further and further, deeper into the apostles' teaching. There is this intense longing that develops in these people that have just come to faith. I mean, you think about it. Some of them had nothing to do with God. Some of them were committed to other religions, but then they meet Jesus at Pentecost. It changes everything for them, and they find themselves in deep devotion to God's word. And so what does the early church do? How do they help them grow? Well, you'll notice there it says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So how do we learn the way? What the apostles do is not to share with them a new episode of the New Heights podcast. It's not to commission another Forrest Frank album or to build a Bible app or to develop a book that they can consume. Instead, what they do with that devotion is channel them into the regular rhythms of the church, the apostles' teaching. The breaking of bread, in this case, referring to the Lord's Supper, to the prayers. Those are the things that are going to nourish our soul. Those are the things that are going to feed us as we seek to become deep disciples who learn the way of Jesus. And that's a reality that's been true from the very beginning of our church. I want you to notice up here on the screen, I've got the oldest picture that we've been able to find of our church from 1928. Look at that. And what you find here is you've got this old school bus. If you had a closer look, you would be able to tell the shell of it is made out of wood. That's how old it is. And you've got some of the incredible leaders in our church who are right here gathered up with some of the kids who have just finished Sunday school. And the bus would drive around town. It has this handmade sign on it inviting people to come and worship with us. They'd bring people in by bus who didn't have transportation. From the very beginning of our church, we were a congregation committed to a devotion to God's word, to learning the way. This is 1928. I want you to see what happened just a couple of years later. Look at how we had grown. I mean, just by my quick count, looking at this image, over 400 people here gathered, and it says College Avenue Baptist Sunday School. These are the people not just there on a Sunday for worship, but committed to being deep disciples, committed to learning the way. And what you'll notice about it is every age and stage, from the youngest here at the top to legacy adults around the edges, even tucked here in the back, if you look close enough, you can see A&M Corps cadets who have made their way all the way over from the campus in order to grow deeper into God's word. That's who we are. That's who we've been. Exactly what we find here in Acts chapter 2, a people devoted to God's word. But there's a second thing you need to see back in verse 43 that shows us what it looks like to be deep disciples who are learning the way. It's not just about devoting ourselves to God's word, but also delighting in God's work. And so let's just see what was the result of the early church's devotion to being deep disciples. You'll notice at the start of verse 43, it says, "And awe came upon every soul." There's this sense of being filled with awe, overwhelmed at the glory of God and his goodness and all that he's done for them in Christ. In other words, as they learn the way, it's not just for the sake of information, but transformation. Their souls are gripped. They're overwhelmed with this sense of wonder and awe. In other words, they delight in God's work and what it is doing in them. But you'll notice the way that verse 43 goes on, that's not the only way they delight. Look at how it continues, and it says, "And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." So just like their Lord Jesus, whose ministry unfolded through his words and his works, we see the same pattern happening in the early church. Signs and wonders, words and works going side by side, and the people delight in that. They can't get enough of it. These deep disciples who are learning the way of Jesus are celebrating the work of the Spirit of Jesus right there in their midst. And look, God's Spirit may not be at work today in all the same ways it was then in the early church, but his Spirit is on the move among us, living and active, shaping us to be more like Jesus as we learn the way of Jesus. And as we're stepping into the fall, one of the challenges and opportunities I want to invite you into is to take a next step to become deep disciples here at Central. And there's really two key ways I want to put that in front of you this morning. The first is with our training program. So we're stepping into year four of the training program. We've got one of the biggest groups we've ever had, over 100 people committed. And if you're not familiar with that, if you're new to church or new to the training program, it's our two-semester deep dive in Bible theology and spiritual formation that will implant our theological DNA into you to help you rightly understand the Word of God, to learn the way. And knowing that this grow week was coming here and that not all of you plan ahead in the way that others do, I created some space with our team to reopen the application window for our training program for the next 3 days. Where if you see this, if you see the work that the Spirit was doing in the early church, you see the work that's been happening since all the way back in 1928, and you say, "I want to take a next step. I want to dive deeper into that." We want to create some space for you to jump in on those last few seats in the training program. But if you're not ready to go from that, all the where you are to that level of intensity, one of the other opportunities we have kicking off this fall are some entirely revamped midweek Bible studies. So for our women on Tuesday mornings and Wednesday nights, for our men on Wednesday nights, we're going to be enhancing the way that we do our weekly midweek Bible studies, with live teaching, with table conversation, with some great resources that we'll provide for you, with some guided developmental things that you will do throughout the week. We're trying to take that to the next level for you so that you can go deeper into God's word. And that will kick off 2 Wednesdays from now on the Wednesday night things, and about that same time with our Tuesday morning Bible studies. And if either of those capture your interest, we've got a QR code on the screen that you can scan, or you can scan the one on that blue card in order to learn more about how to sign up for either of them. The reason and the heart behind that is we know what the early church knew, that if we want to live the way of Jesus, we've got to learn the way of Jesus. And what we're going to find here in the text is there's an invitation in this passage not just to be deep disciples who learn the way of Jesus, but the second big idea I want you to notice in this passage is the invitation to be authentic family who live the way of Jesus. We're going to see that unfold beginning in verse 44, and what we're going to find here is that it begins to talk about the early church in ways that remind us of the family. One of the things you'll find about Central, if you're new to us, is we love families. If you walk through our preschool and kids space, when it's time to pick them all up after the worship gathering, you're going to know our church takes it very seriously, God's command to be fruitful and multiply. I'm just saying. Amazing space, our newly renovated student space. We're committed to marriages. That's why in just a couple of weeks, we'll kick off our Re-Engage Marriage Ministry on Wednesday night to help you strengthen your marriage. We love your family, and we want to invest in your family. But what Acts chapter 2 is focusing on this morning is not our families in our homes, but our family in the church. It's giving us a window into what authentic family ought to look like in a congregation just like Central. And if we can see the patterns, if we can see the principles, if we can see the practices that are taking place here in the early church in Acts chapter 2, it can transform the way that we live. And it's all built around a word you might have overlooked back in verse 42. Did you see there where it called us to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching? But then notice what it says right after that, and to fellowship. Fellowship. In the original language, the word fellowship is koinonia. It comes from the Greek word koinos, which means common. It's the things that we have in common. It's what life together looks like as a church. As we love one another, encourage one another, care for one another, serve one another. And what we find here beginning in verse 44 is Luke unpacks what it looks like to pursue one another as an authentic family. To cultivate the type of family environment that we see right here in this passage. And what we'll notice as we work our way through these next few verses is that Luke gives us four marks of an authentic family as a church. And the first one right here in verse 44 is our community. That authentic family lives the way of Jesus in community. So what does that community look like there? Verse 44 tells us, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And so you see this powerful picture of community. They were together. Everything was in common. And if you were in your life groups this morning, perhaps you watched the video of Daniel teaching us about the nature of community. And he talked about three realities, that community is eternal. Because we follow a God who is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, living in eternal community with one another. But we also talked about how community has been broken by the fall into sin. That from Adam and Eve onward, the curse has brought a rupture and a tear in our relationships with one another, and more importantly, in our relationship with God. But we also talked in life groups this morning about how Jesus restores community in the cross. That what he does is he takes those who are far off because of our sin, in our guilt, in our shame, in our condemnation, and he brings us near. Those who have felt abandoned by God, unwanted by him, never good enough, have been invited back into his heavenly family through a relationship with Jesus. Not on the basis of what you've done, but what he's done for you. There's been a reconciliation that's taken place, a healing, an adoption into his family, a restoration of relationship. And what we experience vertically with God, we see becoming true in the early church in Acts 2, horizontally with one another. They were together. All things in common. There was this deep and relentless commitment and pursuit of one another as an authentic family. One of the things I know about life right now in our cultural moment is that community has become increasingly difficult, especially after the COVID pandemic back in 2020. So for those of you that are new to the church, the Lord brought my family and I here back in 2020 during the COVID shutdown when I was voted on as the pastor. I preached to this whole room and it was empty. Everybody watching online from their living rooms, we send them a link to vote from their phone, one for yes, two for no, like it's American Idol. Like that's the way we started. And I remember as we began to reopen as a church, people began to come back. And I had a friend of mine who I've known for years come up to me one of those first Sundays when I was here. And he says, man, it's so good to be back. It's so good to be around people again. He said, but this morning feels a little bit different because up until now, every time I've heard you preach from my living room on the live stream, I've just been watching you in my underwear. And now I had to put pants on this morning. I mean, we're a church that wants you to come as you are, but please at least put on pants. I mean, it's not too much to ask. We've forgotten what community looks like. We haven't lived it out consistently. You pile onto that the technological developments where we've never been more connected and yet never felt more isolated. And yet what we find here in the early church is a different pattern, a different practice. You'll notice back there in verse 44 where it talks about how they were together. All things in common. They were like a family who shared their lives with one another. And if you are a new person to our church, just checking it out in the early stages of finding a church home in our community. Maybe you just moved to town. Maybe you're one of our college students who's fresh into your dorm room or just move back in for a new semester and you're trying to find a place to plant your life. This may feel like a big church, but what we want it to feel like is like a large family. One who is relentlessly committed to one another. One for whom it's hard to be an anonymous Christian. I love one of the ways the Life Group curriculum put it this week. It had this powerful question that hit me. If you were to miss church for the next 2 to 3 weeks, who in our church would notice and reach out to you? Are there people here that would even see and know? And if you would struggle to come up with an answer, would anybody notice? Would anybody care? That's a sign to you that you are not experiencing the authentic community that we find here in Acts chapter 2. And what we long for you to encounter here as an authentic family in our church. So authentic family shows up first in our community, but you'll notice second, down in verse 45, that it shows up in our care. Authentic family lives out the way of Jesus in how we care for one another. And notice the way this care looks like in verse 45. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I mean, you just imagine this moment. Remember, a room this size filled with new believers. Some of them Jews, some of them Gentiles from different socioeconomic classes, but all of them have been spending generations in their family trying to build up enough to survive, to acquire that home, to provide food for their kids, to take care of their basic needs. They're in a survival culture, and yet they meet Jesus. Now they get connected in community, and what happens? Verse 45 tells us it totally transforms their hearts. Where just a short time ago, if they had seen someone else that was now in the church with them, if they had seen them around town, they would have ignored them or perhaps even been afraid of them, and yet now they are coming to meet needs. They are caring for those around them. What drives a change like that? How is it that you could go from clenched fists holding tightly to everything you have to now opening them up for the sake of people that you hardly know? And the answer's simple. Because now they saw each other as a faith family. Now we're in this together. God has torn down the dividing wall that once separated us. He's brought us together as one in Christ, and you care for your family. You meet the needs of your family. You pour yourself out for your family. That's exactly what we find them doing here in verse 45. And when you see them selling all things and having all things in common, this isn't some form of like a small version of communism where it's forced selling and centralized control. No, this is some sort of communalism where people are organically, voluntarily laying down what they have in order to provide and care for the needs of others. That's because authentic families care for one another. They do whatever it takes to serve one another. And that's something that's been true throughout the history of our church, when I've been looking through our historical records all the way back to our beginning, we built our first church building, the one that you saw on the screen behind me with that big gathering from our Sunday school. We built that in the late 1920s. And in order to have enough funds to build it, we had to take out a loan from the lumber yard that provided us the lumber for it. And in the middle of the Great Depression, when it was hard to make ends meet, one of the deacons in our church, it doesn't tell us who, but one of them stepped in and they took over the loan that we owed to the lumberyard. And we began to pay that deacon back at a much more favorable and manageable rate than we would have ever been able to do. He saw the need, he had the resources, the Lord opened his heart, and he cared. I can think about example after example right here in the life of our church. I mean, many of you know that just a few weeks ago we had our central garage sale. And when I read verse 45, it's like the garage sale on steroids. Like, just bring it all together. Meeting needs. But one of the amazing things that God did is he unexpectedly led a man in our church to give a gift in the form of some prepaid Visa gift cards right before that garage sale. And we took those gift cards, and we found single moms in our community, families in need in our church. We were able to bless them with those cards in order to be able to shop and provide things for themselves that they needed that they would have never been able to afford otherwise. That's what it looks like for a family to care for one another. That's what it looks like to live out what the early church is doing right here in verse 45. That's the heart of Jesus. He has cared for us. He has given himself away for us. And we are called to follow that example by giving ourselves away for one another. So what else does an authentic family look like? You'll notice here in verse 46 that the third mark of an authentic family is our commitment. And we live out the way of Jesus through our commitment to one another. And notice how it says things here. We see three different key commitments unfolding. You'll notice first they were committed to Christ. That's why verse 46 starts with the phrase day by day. There's this intentional, relentless care and commitment to one another. There is a work of God that was on the move over and over again. Jesus was at the center of all that was unfolding there. But they're not just committed to Christ, they are also committed to worship. That's why you'll notice there, it says that they were attending the temple. At that time period, they didn't have a place to meet on their own. They would actually go to the Jewish temple and meet to worship Jesus amongst people that did not yet believe in him. And that word attending in the original language is actually the exact same word as back in verse 42, devoted. In the same way they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to attending the temple together in worship, in pursuing God, in gathering with him as committed worshipers. And notice what happens, though. When they're committed to Christ, they're committed to worship. It comes together in a commitment to each other. So in the middle of verse 46, it says they were committed to the breaking of bread in their homes. So the first time that breaking of bread shows up, it's in the context of the gathered worship. It's referring to the Lord's Supper. Here, it's talking about breaking bread in one of those homes, sharing meals. The first potlucks in the church happened right here in Acts chapter 2. Who knows what kind of casseroles they brought back then. But there's this fellowship, this connection, this commitment to one another. They're gathering not just in large groups in the temple for worship, but they're also gathering in small groups in the home for fellowship and connection and commitment and a prayer. And look what happens as a result of this at the end of verse 46 when it tells us that they were filled with glad and generous hearts. Do you know what happened there? Their commitment contributed to their contentment. Their commitment contributed to their contentment. That as they committed their lives to Jesus, as they gave themselves away to one another, what happened is it overflowed in a generous and glad heart. You see, this picture of gathering corporately in the large group, gathering in the temple, gathering in small groups in the homes around them, it was something that was at the heart of the early church, and it's been a huge part of who we are from the very beginning. I mean, if you were to think about that picture of hundreds of people in front of our church in 1930, representing those who were involved in our Sunday school or small groups at the time, one of the crazy things that we've learned in our archives is that our Sunday school grew so big, so quick, that our church leaders began to go around to the homes that neighbored our church building and ask them for permission to meet in their living rooms. Could you imagine that? Like, let's say we run out of space here and we just go down the road to Oakmont and knock on the doors and say, hey, what are y'all doing Sunday mornings at 9:15? Anybody have a pool so we can send the student ministry over to that house for their meeting? Who knows how long it would take the HOA to come after us? I have no idea. HOAs are crazy these days. But they came to the houses around the church asking for this opportunity so that they could meet this need. And right there from the beginning of our church, we see them reflecting the beginning of the early church in Acts 2. Gathered in corporate worship, and committed to one another through groups. And if you're just saying, okay, how do I live out this in our context today in our church? The primary way that we foster authentic family here at Central is through our life groups. And on the blue card in the seat back in front of you, if you want to scan that, part of the next steps link in there is to learn more information about our groups. They meet every week at 9:15 on Sunday mornings. We have some that meet throughout the week, both on campus and in homes. And we think it's the best way to make a large church feel small, to find the kind of community that Acts 2 models, and to carry out the kind of commitment that it calls for. And when we do that, something incredible often happens. We see it take place here in Acts chapter 2. We've seen it throughout the history of our church. I just want you to notice what occurs when all of these things are true. A fourth mark of an authentic family shows up in verse 47. That's our calling. That authentic family lives the way of Jesus through our calling. Notice what happens when the church lives the way of Jesus, when they make Jesus known, as they're growing in Christ, as they're learning the way as deep disciples, what happens as they carry out their mission as witnesses to the community around them. Look at the beginning of verse 47. It shows us first that it reshapes their hearts. So it says there that they were praising God and having favor with all people. And so there's this overflow of joy, of satisfaction, of glory to the God who is on the move. And at the same time it reshapes their hearts towards God, it's reshaping the hearts of others towards them. They're given this sense of favor in the community. Those who might have been once cast out or on the margins or rejected now have favor. And notice what happens as a result of that. It doesn't just reshape their hearts, it reaches their communities. So at the end of verse 47, it says there, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And just imagine this picture. As I've been saying, a room this size where nearly every seat is filled with people who have just come to faith in Jesus. And as they are learning the way as deep disciples, and as they're beginning to live the way as authentic family, they don't shrink back and wait. Instead, they go out and they live on mission. They witness about Jesus and what he is doing in their lives. And as a result of that, the text tells us the Lord works in powerful ways. It says the Lord added to their number daily. A day didn't go by without somebody meeting Jesus and having their life changed for eternity. And maybe that's some of you this morning. You walked in here, not sure why you came, or a friend invited you, not finding yourself particularly focused on the things of God, but deep down knowing that you're living in sin, that you've tried to fix it on your own, that all of the things that you've tried and pursued in other ways aren't enough. And what Acts 2 is showing us is that from the very beginning of God's work in and through the early church, the same promise that was true for them is true today. That if you acknowledge your sin before a holy God, if you acknowledge that there is nothing you can do to make yourself right with him, if you look to what Jesus has done on that cross to die for your sin, to make a payment for it, to offer you forgiveness and a new life in Christ, and if you put your trust in him, then today, just like on those days in the early church in Acts 2, the Lord will add to his number. What we need to understand, Central Family, is that the same God that was on the move then is on the move today, working in and through his people, shaping them. I just find myself thinking about the early days of our church, thinking about all of the ways that God has been working for nearly 100 years. Just about a year and a half into the launch of our congregation, our founding pastor, Roy Holloman, on the first Sunday of January 1927, during the worship gathering that day, he rolled out a new motto, a new mission statement for the church. And here's what it said: every member in the right place at the right time. Every member at the right place at the right time. I love it. Because what it does is it pictures exactly what we see here in Acts chapter 2, that there was every member in the right place at the right time. They were going forward to make the gospel known. They were living out the faith. They were caring for one another, deeply committed to the things of the gospel. And the same reality that was true for our church 100 years ago is echoing the same reality true of the early church 2,000 years ago. And the reality that Jesus is inviting us into this morning is to grow in the gospel as deep disciples who learn the way of Jesus and as authentic family who live the way of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, in this time as we come to you in prayer, I imagine around this room, Lord, there are people that wrestle right now with the fact that they feel lonely and disconnected from you, lonely and disconnected from a church, wondering if they will ever be able to truly experience the authentic family that you've invited us into. And Lord, I pray that you would meet them in a moment like this and draw them closer to you, draw them closer to Jesus, draw them closer to those that are around them. Lord, we want to live on mission for you so that we can follow you faithfully. And God, I pray that in this time, as we approach the 100th anniversary of our church, that you would fuel in us a passion to see come true today what took place in the early church, that we might know you more deeply so that we can follow you more faithfully. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to stand and respond in song. The Lord's Supper tables will be open for you to grab your elements. But as that's taking place, we're going to have members of our team that will be down here who would love to pray with you or to talk with you what it looks like to get connected to our church or to start a relationship with Jesus. If you feel the Spirit stirring in you in any way this morning, don't leave that alone. Respond to God in whatever way He is moving in your life as we stand and as we sing.